Okay, let us continue then. We are in Esoteric Astrology Adventure 122C, page 468, and we are talking about three constellations which influence Shambhala, and as it happens, also humanity. At least they lie behind Shambhala. This is the way the description has been given. The three constellations are, yes, okay. Here they are. There's one triad of cosmic energy which is of supreme importance upon our planet, and it is the united influence of its three constellations, which will eventually bring about the initiation of the planetary logos. Okay. Right. So we had discussed the triangle of Leo, Virgo, Pisces, and we have seen that this triangle is inverted, as DK says. Okay. And the inversion looks like this. Here it is. And we've discussed two of the three influences. The first of these energies lies back of the activity. First, that the threefold energies which lie back of the activity of Shambhala concern the planetary logos. Okay. So they do lie back of the activity of the center of Shambhala, and the mass is becoming responsive to them, and only theoretically can the disciple take note of this fact in any conscious way. These influences are playing upon that aspect of human life which we call the monad. We've been told that Leo, Virgo, Pisces are together the producers of that which knows, that's Leo, the informers of that which is awakened. Virgo carrying the soul influence over and above the influence simply of that which creates the integrated personality, and the constructors of the modes of fusing wisdom. This is an interesting way of looking at Pisces, because there are methods by which one can look at all things and find through wisdom the interfusion of all. Wisdom will produce a realization of the interrelationship of all things. They produce a unity, that's Leo. They shatter that which they have produced only again, and that's Virgo. Only again to produce it in greater beauty and in wider fullness. Okay, these three are connected definitely and increasingly with the unfoldment of human consciousness in three main aspects. Leo is connected with the fostering of the individual will, individual love, and individual intelligence. In every case, the term individual is the main term. Individual is the main term. It fosters the ahamkara, or egoistic principle. It produces the emphasis upon the I am attitude, which is so necessary a stage before the individual can merge himself as a conscious, self-respecting unit, one who has an idea of his own nature and is a little bit conscious of his abilities in the whole, can merge himself as a constant self-respecting. First of all, before we can merge into the whole, we have to know what it is that's merging. And then the next important part, but behind these influences and pressing through into manifestation, is the force of Virgo, the mother or custodian of the Christ consciousness. And it's interesting to use a term like shatters with respect to Virgo, but thus it is. Okay. An interesting term with respect to Virgo, which shatters eventually the synthesis and the lower unity already produced by the Leo energy. It stimulates the soul within the form as well as the soul within each atom of the form. And that is interesting. In other words, it affects the sun aspect and the mother aspect. So let's put that down. Affecting both the sun and the mother aspect, as well as the soul within each atom. So this is the mother aspect, or anima mundi. Because, and here is a point well worth remembering, the genius and uniqueness of Virgo is that it produces the form as well as stimulates the life within the form. I am the mother and the child and even God. I God, I matter am. The spirit-matter relationship, which is two things as one thing, is really sponsored by Virgo. I am the mother and the child, I God, I matter am. The genius and uniqueness of Virgo is that it produces the form as well as stimulates the life within that form, and therefore nourishes and energizes two lives simultaneously. Well, the life within the form. Okay, now here we've been told that it stimulates the soul within the form, as well as the soul within each atom. So it's stimulating the consciousness aspect. Here we're told something a little different, that it actually produces the form as well as stimulates the life within the form. So this is still a slightly different duality than is just mentioned. Okay. Now, after that slight review, little review, because these are deep matters, and they cannot be easily apprehended by the individual, we go on to the next. It is a powerful dual energy. We're still discussing Virgo. We have discussed Leo a little bit. It is a powerful dual energy, a potent expression of the anima mundi, or of the soul of the world. And when you think of the term soul of the world, it all depends what we mean by the world. Should all aspects of soul be included in the soul, be included in the soul of the world? It was the recognition of this which made the ancient astrologers merge Virgo, Leo into one sign. So it nourishes two aspects of soul. This is in the respect of nourishing two aspects of soul. All right, reviewing that, it stimulates the soul within the form as well as the soul within each atom of the form. So in a way, the atom is the lower factor, it's matter. We're dealing here with matter form. And we have to remember that matter is of the third aspect of divinity, and form is of the second. Sometimes it seems that form is of the second, third aspect of divinity, but really, when you compare the two, matter and form, matter represents the third aspect. So, it was the recognition of this which made the ancient astrologers merge Virgo, Leo into one sign, producing the Sphinx. Then, as the dualism of the human spirit, spirit matter, became a fact in the consciousness of man, because, you know, astrologers can't, until something appears in human consciousness, it's difficult for them to deal with the astrological factor behind something which has not yet appeared. The sign was divided into two signs, and the war of the pairs of opposites became a war with purpose and is incidentally reaching its climax today. With, interestingly, I suppose, Leo representing the selfish personal aspect and Virgo the soul aspect. From another aspect, of course, Virgo will represent the creation of the form, but also the connection is there with the life within the form. Because Virgo also represents the father aspect. So this is a powerful dual energy. It's responsible for giving the sense of the pairs of opposites. It's a potent expression of the soul of the world. It was the recognition of this, of its duality, which made the ancient astronomers merge Virgo and Leo. But they were not cognizant of spirit. They were not at first cognizant of spirit, and it was not a factor which human beings considered. But as they did begin to consider it, as it became a fact in the consciousness of man through its most advanced representatives, the sign was divided into two signs, and this division created the war into two signs. Let's call it like this. This division created a conscious war. Was divided, this Virgo, this Leo-Virgo sign, or Virgo-Leo sign, became divided into the man and into the beast, in a way. So let's look at that, put that down. There was a division into man, represented by the woman of the Sphinx, and beast. The 666 represented by the lion. And then the war of the pairs of opposites, which was spirit and matter, because spirit is now mentioned here as having emerged in the consciousness of humanity, became a war with purpose. And the higher aspect represents purpose. Purpose representing spirit, as it opposes the inclinations of matter form. We can find materialistic aspects of Leo, certainly. It's said to be one of the most material of all the signs in its lower expression. And we can find aspects of Leo connected with God the Son. We can find aspects of Virgo, which are related to matter and to form, but also to the pressure of the inner soul, the higher of the pairs of opposites, and even in relation to spirit. So all three of these signs, no, two of the signs, can be connected with soul and with spirit. Both of them can be. And Virgo has a special connection with matter, which Leo per se does not have, but the Ahamkaric principle is materialistic and limited. So this is today reaching its climax, this war with purpose between the pairs of opposites. Now, there are some different pairs of opposites which are battling here. Soul and form are battling, and soul and personality. Personality can be seen as Leo, and soul can be seen as Virgo in this case. And there is a battle as well, in a larger sense, between the inclinations of spirit and the inclinations of matter. This fact will be obvious to all true esotericists when we look at today's conflict we can see that the pairs of opposites are at war. Well, there's more here to fathom, no question about it, and I'm inclined to ponder upon it. But there was a fused dual energy here. It is a powerful dual energy in Virgo. And it's almost as if two aspects of Virgo are involved in one aspect of Leo. It was the recognition of this that made the ancient astrologers merge Virgo and Leo. If Virgo is a dual energy and Leo is a single energy, then this Virgo-Leo merging is really, in a sense, three energies. And a matter of fact, Virgo can be considered, since it is an M, it can be considered even a triple energy. So eventually, the factor of spirit did begin to emerge. And as this became a fact in the consciousness, the sign was divided into two signs. But it's not that Virgo was divided into two signs. It's the Virgo-Leo, ancient sign, that was divided into two signs. Well, even this is intricate as we begin to discuss it. Another stream of energy is also pushing through. Now, we're mentioning a triangle here, which is behind the activities of Shambhala, and is bringing our planet towards sacredness eventually. Another stream of energy is also pushing through and producing effects upon those in the human family who not only respond to the Leo force and are consequently individuals in their own consciousness, but are responding also to the steadily expanding Christ consciousness. So pushing through and responding to those, there seems to be something sequential about this triangle, of course. It's the Leo response which comes first, the Virgo response which comes next, and finally, the Pisces response. Of this, they are becoming increasingly aware in their own individual experience. The expanding internal Christ consciousness, and Virgo represents the pressure towards that Christ consciousness. And this is the higher aspect of the energy of Pisces. He has to specify there because the lower aspect inclines towards unconsciousness, really, and towards the veiling of the soul. But this is the higher aspect of Pisces. And let's make that just a little bigger for emphasis. It is awareness of the group, of the whole, and of the universe. So Aquarius is not the only sign of group consciousness. Pisces, in its higher levels of expression, makes one aware of the group, of the whole, and of the universe. It is the energy of Buddhi. So we have kind of a little triangle here of Pisces, Neptune, Buddhi. Neptune. The higher aspect of the lower psychic nature, just the way the Buddhic plane is in a way the higher aspect of the astral plane, and the lower psychic nature is found in relation to the astral plane. It is the aspect of the mediator in contradistinction to the medium. And this we see as we turn to page 333 in this book and look at what it says of Pisces, that it is the mediator. There is sensitivity to soul, and soul is mediated into the personality. This is in the case of the advanced man, at least. It is the intuitional control instead of the intellectual overlordship of Leo, and the limitations of Virgo. So it tells us how the three signs stand in relation to each other. I'm remembering the idea of overlordship, and I feel confident that Dane Rudyard, the astrologer who used this term overlordship in relation to Leo, had to have read these words. It's a rare a rare word, and here it's connected with Leo as he connected it. So we have the mediator, and before that we have the pressure of the expanding Christ consciousness, and before that we have that which makes a man an individual, the ahamkaric principle, these three. So let's just list them in the order of their emergence. Leo, ahamkara, Virgo, pressure, well, we can even call it shattering pressure of the Christ consciousness, shattering the unity of Leo, and we have Pisces giving the group, the whole, and the universal. And these three are promoting in the planetary logos progress. Let's see. The unfoldment of human consciousness and what further? Here it is. They lie back of the activity of the center of Shambhala, as do other triangles, of course. You know, in Shambhala we have the law of assembly at work and the assembly of the necessary energies to be used in carrying forth the purpose according to the plan. So they concern the planetary logos. And as we began to say, the following energies contribute to the rendering of our planetary logos, or to say to the creation of a sacred planet through which the planetary logos will function. Of course, what's really doing that is the elevation of the status of the planetary logos, the expression of his consciousness expanding and the intensity of his being reaching through. This is what really makes the sacred planet, but these three particularly are behind making the planet sacred. I'm thinking about the elevation of matter into heaven, the assumption of the Virgin, and that is also required if our planetary logos is to be said to be working through a sacred planet. But anyway, the creation of a more universal understanding and realization, even in the consciousness of the planetary logos. I imagine that as these logoi expand in their ability to take in the whole, a concomitant of that is increasing sacredness of the planet, just as it is with the human being. The greater the consciousness, the more sacred the human being. Okay. We will move a little further. If I don't have this here, there will be no picture in the draft mode. All right. I seem to be going a little bit back and forth, perhaps because it was an abstruse matter, and I felt that a little more effort should be given to trying to make it understandable for myself as well as for others. So we have intuitional control in Pisces, interestingly enough. In Pisces, intellectual control, rather, intuitional control of the intellect. Leo is a sign of the fifth ray. In many ways, it represents the concrete mind. It certainly represented the time when the concrete mind was stimulated in man, and he became a incipiently conscious individual at individualization. And it represents also a higher type of aham, well, I shouldn't call it ahamkaric, it's higher type of individuality that one experiences on the higher mental plane, but within the egoic lotus, it is still influenced by ahamkara, that type of consciousness. But from the Buddhic plane, with which Neptune and Pisces are allied, comes the real intuitional control, which is controlled by the realization of the whole and one's place in the whole as part of the whole. And the wholeness, realization of the wholeness takes place of the realization of one's own identity. There are limitations in Virgo, limitations of the form, but the Christ consciousness is breaking through and shattering. He sometimes uses the word shatter or shattering, and he does use it in connection with Saturn as well as with Virgo. In both cases, I found it kind of a surprising use. These energies of this triangle are today playing potently on humanity. We do remember that humanity was the sort of receiving point of the inverted triangle. The self-consciousness of man as he emerges out of the mass, and this we do see happening everywhere. Okay. This is happening everywhere, and I'd rather say that in red, since it's commentary rather than what the Tibetan said. Then we have the recognition of the Christ life and its nature as the aspirant for the first initiation emerges out of the group of world individuals. We see this very clearly today. The world is filled with prominent and even famous individuals who are not yet really aspirants. They are still too selfishly preoccupied with their own ahamkara. And you can look at all kinds of individuals, but maybe especially I'm thinking of a couple of either rock stars or pop stars in the music business who are sons in Leo. And they are strongly in this way. I won't mention any names, but maybe you can pick up my thought. So there is the recognition of the Christ life and nature. It is, it induces a sense of duality because there is now a higher self type of consciousness as well as a frequent descent into a lower self type of consciousness, and via Gemini, oftentimes an oscillation between them, but also in Virgo, that same mercurial oscillation exists, except that there is a tendency of pressure towards fusion in Virgo, which we have discussed, a pressure towards the fusion of the pairs of opposites. Then the awareness, universal in nature, of the initiate as he emerges out of the ranks of world disciples, and it is the universality of realization that produces the initiate. And this is said to occur in Pisces. To a degree, we can say it occurs in Aquarius. There is also a strong sense of universality in Aquarius. So this triangle, which is affecting Shambhala, or lies behind the activity of Shambhala and is inducing the sacredness of our planetary logos, is also having very strong effects in humanity. All this is therefore brought about at this time by the steady inflow of the energies of Leo, Pisces, Virgo, and these lie behind the very rapid unfoldment of three types of consciousness to be found in varying degrees of humanity today. Well, I suppose there are also intermediate types of consciousness between these, as many people are in transition, and we remember, going backward, that we discussed the Sirian Cancer Capricorn Saturn type of consciousness, which was that of the average man becoming the probationer. Then the Pleiadian, Geminian, Sagittarian, Mercurian consciousness of the probationer becoming the accepted disciple. So, you know, there will be transitions as these processes occur, because there'll be a point at which the individual is neither of the mass nor quite a probationer, and a point at which the person is neither a probationer nor quite an accepted disciple, and then a point where the accepted disciple is not quite an initiate. And over this type of transition, we have Leo, excuse me, not Leo, well, Leo's involved, but we have the Great Bear, Aries, Libra, and the sun-bathing Vulcan, taking the accepted disciple into initiate status. So behind the very rapid unfoldment of the three types of consciousness to be found in varying degrees in humanity today are the energies of Leo, Pisces, and Virgo. And I wonder if we can look at ourselves and other people and say, aha, I see this triangle at work. Or when we spot this type of triangle in a chart, can we see whether it is effective in bringing about that with which it is most associated by the Tibetan? Now, here is a very important page. We may have referred to it earlier, but now we come to it in its own right. There are, as I pointed out earlier, seven great crises in connection with the human being upon the path of evolution. And they cover the earlier and later, the latter and the final stages of his growth. And these, it should be borne in mind, are precipitated through the conditioning influences of seven great constellations. So we've seen some constellations involved in an 18-fold transmission of the three great constellations. We've seen constellations involved here in the three great constellations as they, each one of them works down through two signs of the zodiac and finally through a planet. And we've seen how the seven solar systems are involved as a great constellation, I would say, although perhaps a sub-diaphragmatic constellation and the one about whom naught may be said, working through two constellations, which are Taurus and Scorpio, and working out then through Mars. And now we have looked at an important triangle which is facilitating or impelling sacredness in the life of our planetary logos, and that is Leo, Virgo, Pisces. And now we're going to look at seven constellations. Now obviously there will be some repetitions, and I said the constellations of the zodiac are so frequently found involved in a number of sets of constellations. The different sets have different functions, and they have different numbers involved in them. And in these groupings, the constellations under study have different different functions within the different functions of these groupings or sets. So here are the crises of the soul. I think it's necessary to make sure that these are being displayed. Okay. So we have here, now arranged in better order, the crises of the soul. Crisis, the quality of the crisis, the constellation involved, and the cross upon which that constellation is found. Notice here he uses the term constellation and not sign. For human purposes, the energy concerned is pretty much the same, but of course, the constellation gives the far greater status than that concentrated influence, concentrated aggregation of Devic energies, which is attuned to the constellation and can thereby and therefore transmit its energy to man and to lesser receivers that could not receive the constellational energy directly. We're told here that of these constellations, they concern the earlier, the latter, and the final stages of growth. Let's see if they are given in order. It appears at least the first one is given in order. The crisis is individualization. It occurred maybe 21 million years ago, approximately, on our planet in its fourth round. The constellation involved is Cancer, and it's on the cardinal cross. Now, a long time passes, and DK is not dealing with earlier and lesser crises that may have occurred in the first, who knows, 20 million years of human experience. He's already coming to the crisis of orientation, or reorientation, as it were. It's the reversal of the wheel, Aries, and he, you know, here he's not listing, I guess what I should put it underneath, not listing. Make this a little smaller, right? Not listing Libra and Scorpio, in which this reversal also occurs, or in relation to which it occurs. But always when there is reversal and we're going against the conditioning and towards the institution of the archetype, then we have Uranus. Aries is hierarchically ruled by Uranus. Libra, esoterically, Scorpio has Uranus exalted. So we're reorienting ourselves on the reversing wheel towards the higher power, which we've begun to sense because Virgo, impending from the sixth petal, we might say, has shattered the ahamkaric unity of Leo. So Virgo, every sign contains the corrective of the sign preceding, and Virgo, in this sense, contains the corrective to this earlier ahamkaric unity of Leo. Then follows the crisis of initiation, the quality is generally expansion of consciousness and expansion of potency. It's in Capricorn generically, and the cross is the cardinal, and with initiation we have the expansion both of consciousness and potency. We move on to something that follows, and this pretty well indicates the third initiation is indicated, although there are preceding and following initiations. Then the crisis of renunciation, and this is the crucifixion, and interestingly enough, Gemini is here. We might expect to find Scorpio or Pisces, you know, these signs of suffering. We might expect to find Leo for the destruction of the causal body. But no, it's Gemini. And it is, let's say, Gemini's connection with the second aspect of divinity and the love aspect, implicating the heart, through which the fourth initiation is experienced. Gemini is, the two planets involved with the fourth initiation are Mercury and Saturn. On a higher turn of the spiral than their expression when involved with accepted discipleship. So, Mercury is certainly a key Geminian factor. Also, the Earth, with its cross as a symbol, not that kind of symbol, of crucifixion. The fourness of it, of the of the circle surrounding the cross. The cross may be crucifixion, but the circle is the wholeness of realization in the revelation which the fifth initiation gives. Now, we seem to be going in order so far, but let's see if we really do continue. Well, we don't. We do not continue in order. Nor are we in order of the signs. Nor are we necessarily in order of the crosses. Because it's usually cardinal fixed mutable, and we've got cardinal mutable. We now enter here into something called the crisis of the battlefield. And this takes place before the third initiation. Well, I shouldn't say that exactly, but generally, let's just say that Scorpio most represents the second initiation, even though involved often in the third initiation. There is conflict here. Scorpio is the major sign of conflict. It gives the fourth ray more than any other constellation. Gemini gives the second ray, which is needed at the crisis of renunciation to make the transition. But from another perspective, it's ruled by the heart center, but the fourth ray is the governing ray. And Gemini is not particularly associated with that except through Mercury. Capricorn giving the third and the seventh ray, Aries giving the first and seventh ray, Cancer the third and seventh, which we can see in the incarnational process, because those are the two materially inclining rays, third and seventh. The reorientation takes a first ray thrust of the will against the clockwise direction in which the wheel is turning. And the crisis of initiation, Capricorn with 1, 3, and 7, but also ray 5 implicated. It's connected with the mountaintop and the vision which is seen, the synthetic vision which is seen from the mountaintop. Expansion of power and of potency. With Gemini, at least with respect to the fourth initiation, we can say this of Gemini. With Gemini, there is the tearing or rending process. Pairs of opposites pulling in two directions. So man has to leave behind. Man must leave behind the lower of the pairs of opposites, trying to find the ways in which it is justifiable to consider Gemini here. Gemini is related also to the seventh initiation, startlingly. Well, I suppose because the seventh has so much to do with the love wisdom aspect. And when a seventh degree initiate, or when a world savior achieves a high point of realization, it's in relation to Gemini, and to me, it connects with the seventh initiation, which, from my perspective, is ruled strongly by Gemini, just as the sixth is ruled by Libra, and the fifth has a lot of Leo in it, as well as Aries. We see that the initiations have more than one sign contributing to them. So this is the crisis of the battlefield. preceding the third initiation. Even before the third initiation, we're told of a fearful conflict which ensues in the consciousness of the initiate. So there is conflict. There is a battlefield, and it has to do with attachment to the familiar and well-known, compared to the possibility of entering the larger life detached from the visioned long, the vision of the long-held goals, or the long-held cherished factors of earth and flesh and kin. I turn me on my forward path and vision once again the long-held joys of earth and flesh and kin. The crisis of the birthplace, we're not going in order. Why does he do it this way? I'm sure there's a good reason. We're not, No, we're not in order of the signs either. I'd like to say there was an order here that I can perceive. Probably there's an order that I cannot perceive. This is the beginning of life in the fifth kingdom of nature. And Virgo is a sign leading to the birth. The birth is the beginning of the initiatory process, a mutable sign. The second ray is powerful, so is the sixth ray. It takes lots of aspiration to achieve this. And the heart center is stimulated. There's the birth of the Christ in the heart, even though it's the sacral center primarily, and its elevation to the throat that is involved in the dynamics of this first initiation. Virgo is, Capricorn has been associated with the birth, and Leo with the first initiation, and Virgo is the long travail that leads up to this first initiation. And then the crisis of the burning ground, it's more the final burning ground before the, fourth or fifth initiation, but I would say especially the fifth initiation of revelation. We're burning away any detachment, even to the what is left of form. Uranus is the hierarchical, the veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo. Leo is the fifth sign, fifth initiation. Leo brings in the first ray, and that initiation is under the first ray. Interestingly, with Virgo, it has a past that connects it to the seventh ray. And the first initiation is that which is taken on the seventh ray. The battlefield is particularly occurring in the second initiation, over which Scorpio presides, and the Martian rulership of Scorpio is strongly sixth ray in its nature. And the conflict which Scorpio contributes to any one of the initiations of the first three is facilitated by the fighting spirit of the fourth ray, where the opposites contend. So we have, in summation, crisis of incarnation, crisis of orientation, crisis of initiation, crisis of renunciation. Those are sequential. Then we go backwards, it seems, crisis of the battlefield, which really follows the crisis of the birthplace. But the crisis of the burning ground, since it confers liberation, it's very Uranian. And it is at mastership, really, that liberation is achieved. Well, you know, if we wish to, we can associate the sign Leo with the fourth initiation, which brings about liberation from the necessity to incarnate, because Leo rules the causal body, which is destroyed by fire at the fourth initiation. So there is a liberation that occurs there, definitely at the fourth initiation, but a greater liberation into a fuller type of revelation and realization and light, a greater illumination. I just want to say that there is a great illumination at the fifth initiation with the revelation. And the purpose of the planetary logos is realized in a new way. That is what occurs. So all of these initiations have a number of factors associated with them. They're not just one thing. And we should try to remember these crises if we can. I don't know if there's any easy mnemonic to do it with. Individualization long ago, reversal after a very, very long time of millions of years, and the fifth petal is being cultivated in the egoic lotus, and that fifth petal, the petals following it unfold with much greater rapidity than the earlier ones. The general expansion of consciousness, which occurs when nine petals of the egoic lotus are unfolded, and we have the third initiation. The crucifixion, when the three petals, inner petals, synthesis petals of the egoic lotus burst open, revealing the jewel, and the possibility then of renouncing the need to incarnate and to participate in the human kingdom in the usual way determined by desire. The battlefield is earlier, although I suppose there are other battlefields involved. There are great crises of darkness and light with some of the higher initiations, but I do think he means here particularly the second initiation, and really the whole process of initiation up to and including the third initiation. There's always going to be a conflict preceding initiation, but the conflicts are different, and they involve different centers. There's kind of a conflict between will and desire at the second initiation, even in a sense between love and desire. There's a conflict between ethereality and dense physicality at the first initiation. The inner principles have to learn to control, so the instinctual nature needs to be overcome and regulated under the seventh ray. There's a crisis at the third degree between the incipient realization of the whole and involvement with form and the part. Unitive consciousness begins to make its presence inevitably felt. At the fourth initiation, we are really struggling with the conflict between the spirit-soul and the soul-infused personality. A man pretty well becomes spirit-matter after that point. Well, anyway, the spirit is really beginning to dominate rather than the soul. But if we want to say that the true soul is the triadal ego, then that continues its soul influence from that perspective. The triad is the ego. Well, it's a real leaving of the fourth kingdom, this fourth initiation. One is still a man even at the fifth. They are no longer men as are the masters. Well, those are the Chohans. The master is the exalted man, but he's not he's free from the wheel of rebirth. So all that holds a man to the wheel of rebirth is fighting at the fourth degree against that which is seeking liberation. And he has to renounce all that holds him to the wheel of rebirth. And then at the fifth degree, there is a renunciation of all that holds the man to lesser consciousness. He is living increasingly in the light of planetary logoic purpose, and maybe because Leo is one of the ruling signs there, perhaps he's living somewhat in the light of solar logoic purpose. You will note that two of the constellations which we have just been considering, Leo and Virgo, are to be found in this list. And yes, and the Tibetan is therefore pointing out similarities between some of the groups or sets we have been studying. Leo and Virgo are in this great triangle which lies behind Shambhala and inclines our planet towards sacredness. Virgo, though, is dealing with a very early stage, the crisis of the birthplace, and Leo, the crisis of the burning ground. Uranus rules the final burning ground, we are told. Leo rules the burning ground, and Uranus is the veiled esoteric ruler, a veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo. Five constellations are so in a way, Virgo is of spirituality the beginning, and Leo in this list the end, because we really do have liberation into mastership at this point. That doesn't mean that Leo is not also involved at the fourth degree, sacrificing the causal body, at the third degree, achieving a kind of illumination, which is not the full revelation of the fifth degree, but at least it breaks the usual ahamkara, and one possesses then unified consciousness. And Leo, heart of the sun, Neptune at the second degree, and Leo always associated with the first degree, where we come into the first type of knowledge of the soul, and the sun aspect, S-O-N, is established. When looking at Leo and Virgo, sometimes one's on the top, sometimes the other, it's not always a question of Virgo being superior and dominating the lower type of unity consciousness of Leo. As a matter of fact, if you look at the this map, which is by now more than familiar, you will see, well, no, you can't see it there. You can see it here. And the Logoic plane is ruled by Leo, and the hierarchy pertaining to it, Sea of Fire, Leo, and the Monadic plane by Virgo. In this case, Leo is in the superior position. So, different constellations in different settings and groupings will be superior or inferior to each other, depending on the context. All right, let's see where we are here. We are just about at the point where, well, we're at the point where we can go on to D. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, 122C, page 472. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure D, page 472.